Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Look with compassion upon the heartfelt desires of your servants and purify our disordered affections, that we may behold your eternal glory in the face of Christ Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. All right, so third Sunday in Lent. For those of you who are fasting, how's it going? Going strong? I was a little overly ambitious this Lent, and I've forgotten what I'm supposed to be fasting at this point, so you might be doing better. There were several things, and I only remember a couple. But just to show you how things are going in the Holloway home, a little lesson here. Fasting as a practice is not an exercise in willpower and perfectionism. So you can just kind of let that go. But actually, our failure to keep a faithful fast only highlights that we are a people of great need, and we can't do it without help. And speaking of which, getting into the sermon here, I've heard it said, maybe you've heard something like it before, who needs religion, right? We just need people to be good humans. Has anybody else heard that too? To be honest, I sympathize with it. Because sometimes I think, why can't people just basic level be kind to one another? Just be kind. Why are there so many jerks in the world? But then somebody does something to annoy me, and you wouldn't even know if you could hear my internal sort of monologue going on that I'm a priest by my reaction, but we won't get into that. But the point is, I am the jerk at times. More often than I'd like to be. Why can't people just be good humans? It's because we can't. So welcome to church. Just brought you by the season of Lent, and you'll get it every year. We can't be good, not on our own. If I knew that I could give you a list of things to do that would be guaranteed to make you a better person, I probably would. That's what we would teach here every Sunday. It would be too tempting, and I'm sure it would look something like pray 3 times daily. Read through the Bible every year, volunteer monthly for a food bank or shelter, you know, go to a Christian conference, but no such legitimate list exists that can actually make you better. Here's the whole sermon right up front. You can grab a quick nap after this, but first, listen, all Christian work and action in this life is for the primary task that we become like Christ. All Christian work and action in this life is for the primary task that we become like Christ. And this goes beyond even our actions to include our thoughts and our attitudes, to be formed into the humans of God's intention and design and order. Good, holy, righteous, compassionate, loving, merciful, gracious, peaceful humans. Such is the vision and the makeup of the kingdom of God. So the reality is that we do need religion, after all, because it is the pathway by which people don't merely become good humans, but they gain the humanity that Christ has won for them. In other words, it isn't a sin to be human. And before I finish that statement, I want to be crystal clear on that point. It isn't a sin to be human, and any theology that teaches such is heresy. Why? Because Christ Jesus, who took on human form in its entirety and who did not sin, Paul said, who knew no sin, Jesus took this humanity to the cross and rescued us from the parasitic bondage of sin to human beings. So it isn't a sin to be human, but we are humans who sin. It is a beautiful and remarkable thing to be human, but that beauty is only given and activated by God in Christ. So what I'm saying is that religion isn't an option if we want to regain the humanity that we were created to enjoy and thrive in. If you want to be a good human, in the words of the Christian songwriter in the 70s, Larry Norman, probably three of you will get this, but why don't you look to Jesus? Where's David? Where'd David go? He was going to finish that statement for you. Finish it for me. He's got the answer. Why don't you look to Jesus? So twice this morning, we heard the Ten Commandments read aloud, once in the Decalogue at the beginning of the service, which Decalogue you might already know is just another name for the Ten Commandments. And then it was actually assigned for the lectionary readings from Exodus 20 for this third Sunday in Lent. And so I just felt like it would be important to say, this is not a list of the things that will make you good. The Ten Commandments isn't a list of things that will make you Christian. By keeping these commandments, which, by the way, you can't, no one can on their own, by keeping these commandments, you aren't powering up spiritually or getting a bigger house in heaven or more jewels in your crown. No, the commandments don't make you good, but here is what they do. They reveal the great chasm that exists between us and God, a distance that is created, a distance that is sustained and leveraged by sin. Simply put, the commandments reveal our inability and our great need for help. That's really the force of what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 7 that we heard read aloud this morning. It's a little confusing to read. Honestly, it's one of those chapters where I just get frustrated with Paul. It's like, you couldn't say it in two or three sentences, but basically what he's saying is that sin leveraged the law to bring condemnation, meaning that as the commandments reveal our inability and our great need for help, sin drops in this little lie that you are the absolute worst and you deserve death. And you know what? There have been so many people that I've known, and I'm sure that you've known, who have only understood Christianity from that lie. And they wrongly conclude that Christians are just a bunch of people who try to follow God's law, but ultimately, to their own hypocrisy and condemnation, they fail. So what's the point? Why do we need religion, right? Let's all just be good humans. And Paul says in no uncertain terms, you know what? You're right. I'm a slave to the sin that is within me. Wretched and miserable man that I am, what can even be done about this domination of sin in my life and this destination of death that is ahead of me? But then he doesn't end there. I just imagine that Paul pauses and he takes a breath and his shoulders drop a little bit and he says, I remember now, it's Jesus. He's the answer. He did something about it. So while the commandments can't be kept on our own, they can be kept through faith in Christ. He gives us the wisdom and power and love through the Holy Spirit by which we are able to pursue goodness and holiness. The fancy word for this is sanctification, and all it really means is that we, through faith in Him, are being made more and more into the image of Christ. As the prophet John said of Jesus, He must become greater and I must become less. So, how exactly are we to understand these Ten Commandments? I like the way that Ruth and our godly play teachers teach our children through godly play. They know them as the 10 best ways. And the key word there is way. They are not the destination, they are the way. They are the path. The destination is becoming like Christ. The way is through relying on God's help and strength and wisdom to love Him and to love others. The way is, we'll start at the top. You shall have no other gods before me. The way is to entrust ourselves and our lives and all that is within us fully and only to Him. The way is, you shall not make for yourself or bow down or serve idols, to reach out to nothing else for salvation. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The way is to speak of what is true and right of God, both to yourself and to others. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The way is to regularly enter into a set apart time for resting from our labors and remembering his goodness, remembering his faithfulness and his love. Honor your father and your mother. The way is to give honor, respect, love, and care to those who are elder and an authority to us. You shall not murder. The way is to understand that all living things and people belong to God and to value them as such through both justice and mercy. You shall not commit adultery. The way is to hold either to our covenantal union of marriage or our commitment to chastity with fidelity and honor and love. You shall not steal. The way is to honest and responsible ownership. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The way is to speak what is true always with love and wisdom. You shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. The way is to pursue contentment of possessions, heart, mind, and body, summarily to have rightly ordered desires. And I think a moment's pause here is in order to clearly state again that these ways cannot be followed by our own strength and willpower. Maybe you could stumble your way through a couple of them decently, right? But I would submit to you that none of us can hold to any single one of them without. Here's the thing. Every commandment has at it the heart of the matter. And I've sort of hinted at that through what I just read through, but that was really too quick to meaningfully engage and explore the heart of each commandment. But it's there in each of them. For instance, you may not have murdered someone, but it's probable that most, if not all of us, have harbored anger and hatred and bitterness towards someone. And Jesus actually extended this commandment to this sin of hatred and anger and bitterness in his Sermon from the Mount, Sermon from Matthew 5. Why does he do this? Because at the heart of the matter, you shall not murder is really whether we see and value the image of God in others. Here's another one. Honor your father and mother. You may not have a father or mother. You may have an entirely unsafe experience of your father or mother. But at the heart of the matter isn't a familial relationship. At the heart of the matter is how we honor those who have lived longer, who are exemplars of the faith, and who exercise authority over us. So for me, you know, I don't have a mother or father. Both of my parents have passed away, and I no longer have that. But this commandment is still applicable for my mother-in-law, for Father Robert, for Father Mark, for Bishop Alex. So these commandments or 10 best ways are like signposts of God's kingdom, and they point to an order of creation and life lived together that is beautifully whole and healthy and healing, redemptive and welcoming and renewing, and that is breaking into our world that is broken and sick and at odds with itself and in need of restoration and renewal. You see, it isn't about obeying the commandments. It isn't about obeying the commandments. That isn't the end game. If that was our target, then yeah, I mean, this, what are we doing here? Because it's just an exercise in futility. But if the commandments are paths along which we walk and raise our children to walk and encourage one another to walk in, then we will ultimately arrive at the kingdom, finding that God through Christ, God in Christ through the Holy Spirit has been with us along the way. So who needs commandments? And who needs religion? Who needs law? You do. I do. We need it. It is a gift from God to us, a gift that is ever pointing us to the way and the truth and the life. But the thing is, what is needed isn't willpower or a constant sense of failure or shame for not being able to keep it. What's needed is faith in the one who fulfilled the law completely. So now in its fulfillment, the law isn't null and void, but it's actually redeemed as a pathway for the kingdom. And we can joyfully take that path. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, couldn't do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in you, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to their Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. May we set our minds, our hearts, our souls, our wills, our every ounce of being on him who fulfilled the law, that our restless hearts might find rest and our wandering feet find their way along the path of the kingdom of God. May his commands be life to you and to your family. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.